Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patton.
And we're the food guys. You know what? You were talking about pasta. You just mentioned pasta. And I thought, oh, yeah, pasta. Man, I love pasta. It's just great. And then you said kale pasta. And I thought, what? You can't make pasta out of kale.
Well, I wasn't talking about that.
Oh. I got that wrong.
About a year ago, I came across a recipe for kale sauce pasta.
Oh, kale sauce. Kale sauce. How would you make a kale sauce, though?
It was for a vividly green pasta sauce made from blanched kale leaves. And it also had olive oil in it and really good Reggiano Parmigiano. And the recipe actually came from a very fine chef and also cookbook author, Joshua McFadden.
Uh-huh.
And he said that it was inspired by Rose Gray and Ruth Rogers of the River Cafe in London.
Wow.
And it's absolutely superbly simple. And it's become a staple at home for us now.
Yeah,
it's just great. What you really need for this, though,
and I like the green
is the kale.
Sound.
The kale that you need for this, and it's specified in the recipe, is the Tuscan kale. It's also known as cavolo nero, you know, black cabbage. It's also known as lacinato kale.
Lacinato.
Yes, L-A-C-I-N-A-T-O. They're these long leaves. They have very stiff ribs, and the leaves themselves are very, very dark green. And I have not tried this with any other kind of kale. So I there's no way for me to know if it'll work with another kind of kale, which I think it should. But I think the lacinato kale itself has such a wonderfully deep, rich flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And the color is so dark, bright green and startling that it becomes a conversation piece.
Where would you get it?
Well, you get it in the supermarket, and you can get it at the farmer's market. Farmer's markets have them.
Oh, yeah? Okay, all right.
But even regular supermarkets tend to carry the
black cabbage, lacinato.
Lacinato kale. And it's a very simple recipe, and you can have, like, for two servings as a main course, what you would need would be like a pound of the kale, but that includes the ribs, and you have to remove those ribs.
Remove those ribs.
Yeah, so you're going to be probably wind up with maybe 8 ounces of the black kale. And I'm calling it black kale because it's often
black
referred
kale.
To that.
Okay.
But it's Tuscan kale.
Okay.
And it was really interesting. You know, when Dorothy and I were living in Naples, which is south of Tuscany,
right,
they never would have this kale. This is definitely, if you're in Florence, you'll
find
it.
The Neapolitans said,
you will not see
forget
that
about
south.
It. You know.
You won't see it south. It's really strange. Anyway, so what you do is you blanch it. You drop the kale into a big pot of boiling water, and you just blanch it for maybe 3 minutes just until it becomes tender.
Yeah.
And then you fish it out with tongs, and you take it right out of the boiling water and put it into a blender jar with whatever water is hanging on. And then you just puree it in your blender jar, and you can add a little bit. You add a couple of cloves of garlic, and you season it with pepper. You can add a little bit of salt, and you also have an olive oil. I don't know if I mentioned olive oil. And also grated Reggiano Parmigiano.
So this garlic, you know, I noticed that the garlic, it suggests, you know, Tejal Rao's recipe suggests that you should soften that and sauté it in olive
You can
oil
sauté start. The garlic, yes, you can. You can do that. It always helps to bring out the garlic flavor if you sauté it in a little bit of the olive oil.
Would you chop it up to soften it, or
you could slice it? You don't need to chop it up. You can just slice it and get some nice.
You got to sauté it after all.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean,
and then you would add that to the blanched kale along with all the other stuff with the olive oil and the cheese, and then you just puree it, and it becomes. You might have to add a little bit of the boiling water, more of the boiling water. To the puree to make sure that it's a thick, creamy, textured puree that will stick to the pasta. And in terms of the pasta, what I would recommend is something that's got all kinds of little nooks and crannies.
Oh, I see.
You know, some kind of twisty shape maybe where the
a lot of extra surface.
The sauce can kind of hide. Penne is also good because it can go inside
penne.
The tube.
Yeah.
You know, it can go inside the tube.
Huh. What are some of those other ones? Like, rigatoni, you know.
Yeah, a tubey thing like that.
Yeah, nice.
You
tubey.
Could use it, of course, for pasta or for spaghetti or linguine, but I think the more twisty shape adds more interest to it. But what the quantities we just spoke about are really enough for a main dish for two people or for a side dish for four. Mm-hmm. And when I say main dish for two people, I'm talking about maybe 4 ounces. Three and a half to 4 ounces pasta per person.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's for a side dish for four people, I would say maybe, 2.5 to 3 ounces of pasta per person.
Put a little grated cheese on it.
Yes.
What kind of cheese would you
Reggiano Parmigiano.
Reggiano Parmigiano.
Yes.
That would be sufficient, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you see, folks, some things, they might sound simple, but after all, you got to get the right stuff together, right? And you got to come back next week for
The Food Guys.